Welcome everyone to Simply Bitcoin. We break down the news from Twitter, the Daily Fail, meme review, software releases, hardware releases, and the websites by plebs or plebs. We have two very special guests joining us. We have Desiree, who is the CEO of At Thunder Games, and Christian, who is app game developer and tinker and the co-founder of ZBDB.io and Mint Gox. All right, we're diving into the numbers. Let's do it.
Number time.
Number time is brought to you by Bitcoin 2022. It's going to be the largest Bitcoin conference ever. And maybe you guys missed this, but I'm going to be speaking at the conference. It's going to be cool. And you can take advantage of the link down below for 10% off your tickets to Bitcoin 2022.
At the time of this recording, the block height is 714,427. The Bitcoin price, 48,035. Chain rewrite days, 752. Total public lightning capacity, 3,289.68. Moscow time is climbing, 2,082, and the blocks to the halving, 125,573.
Well, another,
the numbers.
Another all-time high for block height. But Phil, I think we should just pre-record that segment because we're just basically saying the same thing. We have been saying the same thing for the last 3 weeks. It's been awfully boring. But anyways, enough of us because people just hear us say the same goddamn numbers every day. Guys, what do you feel? I'm going to pass it to Desiree first. Are you as bored as we are? What's going on?
Bored with Bitcoin?
Well, the numbers.
The numbers, the numbers. Okay. There's no, you can't be bored with Bitcoin. That's physically impossible.
Like, wait, what? Yeah, the numbers are boring to me. I guess the number that used to interest me a lot was like the Lightning Network capacity, but like, even that, I'm like, we've reached a point where we're not going back. So it's all good to me now. Now I can just like focus and not be staring at the number all the time. But the number will do what the number will do, and there's not much I can do to influence that.
I love you. You know that you have a real Bitcoiner on the show when they give that type of answer, which is like, "Hey, I'm just enjoying the ride, ups and downs. Welcome to the Bitcoin roller coaster." But anyways, I'm going to pass it on to Christian. Christian, what are your feelings, observations, thoughts of our just? You know what? Do you know Dennis? Do you know him? 58K game.
Dennis.
Yeah, 58K no. game. All right. Well, he's this meme guy on Twitter, and he cursed everybody because he made a meme about 58K the price. So, yeah. Anyway, so you don't know him, so it's awkward. What are your thoughts on the price and the numbers?
Like, I think it's, as you said, it's important to see the block height is going up. If that went down, I start to worry a little bit. Something is probably very wrong if that goes down. But yeah, the numbers, I don't check the numbers. I don't have to. I just know when, like, from my friends and family, when they start to message me, I can tell if it's going up or down. That's kind of like my gauge. I don't have to kind of check the number, but...
Like, that's how I know. That's the one time that I do look is like, I know that we're in a dip when like all the haters like in my life start messaging me and be like, oh,
feel like the environment, don't you? The atmosphere. Yeah, you kind of don't have to check the numbers. You kind of know something's up or down, kind of thing.
Yeah, and that's like my signal to buy the dip is when that happens.
I love the text message, which is like, "Are you okay?" You know, it's like, are you like, you know, you get the messages that Bitcoin drops like 30-40%. You get the text, "Are you okay?" And I love it because last time someone did that to me, I sent them a screenshot of Nayib Bukele saying he bought the dip, you know? So I was like, here, that's my answer to "Are you okay?"
I think it's kind of a sign of people coming into Bitcoin, right? Because people have been in there long enough. It's just like a roller coaster, right? You kind of up and down. It's like no big deal, right? But then you get, oh, wait, it's gone down. It's like, oh. Like, what's that meme from the movie with it's like a Netflix one, like a cowboy one, Buster Scruggs. It has that thing where he's in the noose.
First time.
It's kind of like that, you know.
No, yeah, it totally. Phil, go ahead.
Nico, I just want to draw special attention to the really quick comment that Christian made about the block height, that what would worry him is that if the block height was going down.
That would be terrible.
I was like, for a split second, I'm just listening. Like, I'm like, wait a second, what?
Like, some some chains, like the block height just like doesn't go up right for a long time, and then they're like, there's like a bug in them kind of thing. So, you know,
that is the end of the world. Though I remember one time there was like 15 minutes where like it didn't change, or 16 minutes or something like that, like a year ago, or
difficulty adjustments and all this kind of stuff, right?
And I was like, wait a second, it's been a while.
Dude, it's been much longer than 15 minutes. I think it's been like 35, 40 minutes at one point.
I never noticed.
Especially with the China ban. But yeah, if the block height started going backwards, that...
it couldn't go.
No.
It could if you were on the wrong chain of a fork, and then you basically got reorked back to the other chain, which had... but I guess... It would normally go to the longest chain, wouldn't it?
It would just
go to the longest chain.
It would just go to just stay at the number. It would just go to the It would be the end of the world. I
think a technical scenario which that could happen though.
It would be end of the world. Bitcoiners, even if the price didn't move, Bitcoiners would be freaking out about it. It'd be like, okay, this is bad. Something's going on here. Yeah. We don't know what it is. But anyways, I got some hopium for everybody. Check this out, Phil. Just to, show some numbers, right? Because this is the numbers. Check this out. This is Glassnode. The Lightning Network capacity. And the reason I brought this up is because Desiree cursed us, okay? And I'm pretty upset because she said it was going up, but now it's going down. Look at that dip. And this completely happened because Desiree said what she said. So, Desiree, what are your thoughts on that?
I don't know. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I have no idea. I have not seen that yet, obviously. But I will say, I mean, Chris, you probably remember this. Like, do you remember when like Ellen Big came online, and put like all of that Bitcoin on the Lightning Network? And that was just like the most insane day, because everybody was like, what the hell is going on? Like, where did all of this Bitcoin come from? And I will say, in El Salvador at the Adopting Bitcoin conference, I got an LN Big mug.
LN Big were there, weren't they? Yeah.
Yeah. And it was like, it's one of my favorite mugs. It's great. So
awesome. Awesome. Good stuff. So guys, from this moment on, this dip will be referred to as the Desiree dip. We will not forget it. But listen, to be in all seriousness, I was going to go show the Lightning Network capacity, and then she gave me a way in. She gave me a door to make a joke about it. So sorry, Desiree. Welcome to Simply Bitcoin. Anyways, I'm going to pass it on to Christian. Christian, what are your thoughts, man? Look, it's just a small dip. It's not really important. We're joking. But any thoughts, man? It's literally gone parabolic, the Lightning Network capacity.
One of the issues at Zebedee we are worried about is, do we have enough liquidity to power like some of the game studios who are coming on board, we're actively trying to accumulate Bitcoin, to kind of bump up the liquidity. But then that gets into like, well, do we buy it now or do we buy it later?
Yeah, that makes sense.
But yeah, but like, there's definitely just going to be a shortage of liquidity going forward. Just like as, ourselves at Zebedee and also what Des is doing at Thunder Games, like a game can just like go viral, just like so randomly. I was watching this thing on Among Us the other day, this morning actually, and the devs were just talking about it. It's like nothing, then Korean like podcaster like pick them up, and then they're like a million daily active users. So that's going to happen at some point with our Bitcoin games. I'm certain of it.
Absolutely.
And then we're going to have no liquidity. So we're going to have that liquidity.
But that's a good
channels problem. Will be unbalanced.
That's a good problem, because that's a hell of an incentive, right? If that happens, if there's no liquidity, that's a hell of an incentive. So Phil, go ahead.
I'm sorry. And I just want to point out, to his point, right, to Christian's point about the channels being unbalanced, maybe that's going to force the user experience for balancing channels to push forward and just be a little bit smoother. Because don't get me wrong, like, it's cool that the functionality is there, but like, a lot of it, people don't just like, it's not intuitive, in a lot of these interfaces. So maybe, maybe the explosion of users is going to help everybody out.
I think there's a little bit of progress that's been made on that, but I'm actually like more bullish on, companies like Zebedee obviously there's all of us who've had to deal with this for so long, but like the people who are coming to the Lightning Network and using the Lightning Network to power their games, like Zebedee is like extrapolating all of that, like technical things where you have to balance your own channels. They're like taking that away from the user. So like the developer doesn't actually have to deal with that, which I think is really powerful.
Yeah, I would say we take it away from the developer, because the user, they use a wallet that we might not control. So they could use our wallet, but they could use wallet of Satoshi, right? Then it's up to wallet and Satoshi and Zebedee to make sure our channels are balanced. But we definitely take it away from the game devs. But it is actually, it's kind of like one of these new things. You know how like people say, you know, like jobs will disappear. Well, it's actually like a job that we need is like full-time channel balancer or something. You know? And then these big companies need somebody like that, or maybe even not somebody, at least two people, because then, you know, one person has to sleep, you know, so he's got to, you know,
That is crazy. I'm glad.
Because like what happens is like the guy will go to sleep. The guy who currently at the moment manages the channels, he'll go to sleep, but then one of the games will just like take off, and then like he wakes up in the morning and like wallet of Satoshi can't withdraw, like, oh yeah, you know, it was just, that happens a lot in startups. When something goes wrong, a lot of it's just like the guy whose job that was, he was just asleep.
It reminds me of that, you know, that meme with the dog and he's in the house that's on fire, like everything is fine and he's just holding the coffee cup. But yeah, look, I totally brought this topic these numbers randomly, like then I was like, oh okay, this would be fun to talk about. But man, it was good. I learned so, I didn't know that Bitcoin and gaming was so intertwined with the Lightning Network capacity. And I'm sure that a lot of viewers didn't know that as well. So really, really cool stuff. But anyways, Phil, it's time for the Daily Fail.
The Daily Fail is brought to you by Amber App. Check them out, amber.app. It's a Bitcoin stacking app by toxic Bitcoiners. The link is down below. I tried to warn them. Nico told me to give context. I still think that it's freaky that Yellow's going to appear. And I'm sure that this is creepy for our guests too. But let's just keep going.
Amber, the smart way stack sense.
All right, we have an interesting fail. This kind of, it's just strange, right? Because we're talking about this a little bit on Bitcoin Kindergarten last night, and I was putting this story together and it just fit perfectly, right? So look, we've all gone through the pandemic and all that good stuff. And, you know, we keep seeing all the different reasons for all the money printing and all of the control and all of the security that, and all of the freedom that gets taken away replaced with quote unquote security. So anyways, let's dive into this thread that Laser Hoddle had. This is a really interesting thread. And we're also going to pull together some stories from the mainstream media just to show essentially how the narrative really is building very quickly. Okay, so what narrative are we talking about? Let's dive in. Cyber pandemic hypothesis. Number one, massive false flag hack. Number two, NATO triggers Article 5 for the second time ever. First was 9/11. Great Reset allies together against cyber terrorism. Calls for digital identity only internet, which we've already covered, okay? Great firewall of the West. Let's dive into this, right? So let's take a look at this. This was August 21st. Now, what Laser has done, right? And we have to give him credit for this thread. But this is fantastic because he just kept on adding more and more pieces to it. So now we move over to September 7th. New research warns politically convenient solar storm could hit before 2030 with 12% likelihood. The next solar storm could plunge the world into an internet apocalypse that keeps large swathes of society offline for weeks or even months at a time. There we go, September 7th. Here we go. Another comment around the same time. The White House Cyber Strike Team CISA published Cyber Toolkit, which warns of electromagnetic pulse and cyber attacks as possible attack vectors. All right, so here we go. We're fast forwarding to October 6th. The U.S. establishes Cryptocurrency Strike Team to halt markets used by criminals. Now we fast forward to October 10th. Will the cyber pandemic leverage a real solar storm in order to provide plausible deniability for mass outage? Okay, so we could see what's happening here, right? They're planting the seed, right? The seed is being planted for what's coming. What's coming most likely is going to be some type of faked scenario with some type of blackout for communications going on. All right, so now we're fast forwarding to December 9th, right? Israel and the IMF lead simulation of catastrophic cyber attack on the global financial system in this latest globalist war game involving 10 countries. Okay, now here we go. Okay, this was like just a cut. Like this was like just yesterday, right? Powell signals fear of major cyber attack on financial system. Let's take a look at this. We're not going to watch the whole video though, because that's, you know, we'll just share the link so you guys can.
I would say, you know, cyber risk, the risk of a successful cyber attack, is for me, you know, always the most, you know, one that we would be very difficult to deal with. I think we know how to deal with bad loans and things like that. I think more a cyber attack that were to take down a major financial institution or financial market utility would be a really significant financial stability risk that we haven't actually faced yet. So
that's the key right there. Haven't faced it yet, but soon it's going to provide a reason for way more money printing, because we need more excuses to print more money. Okay, that's my assertion anyways. That's my opinion. Because remember, you have to create narratives, right? Like money doesn't just get printed for nothing. You need reasons to do this, right? You need to provide reasons because you need to put on a show. This is an article from December 13th. Okay, DHS warns of critical flaw in widely used software. And this is December 13th, 2021. DHS's Cybersecurity Infrastructure Security Agency ordered federal civilian agencies to update their software, and Jen Easterly, the head of an agency, warned that the vulnerability was being widely exploited by a growing set of hackers. So here we go. The situation escalated before the weekend when a tool for exploiting the vulnerability was made public on GitHub, a software repository that gave malicious hackers a potential roadmap for how to use the vulnerability to break into devices. And they're talking about the Log4j software. Okay, this is the actual piece of software that they're talking about. But wait, there's more. Right? Because we're not done. It's not just like some piece of software. We need to worry about others. We need to worry about everything. Okay? You got to worry about the software. Boom. Now we've got Iran. All right. U.S. warns that Iranian government-sponsored hackers are targeting key U.S. infrastructures. Now, my favorite part about this is this Windows XP screenshot. I like that. Hackers today, I guess they're still using these old forms. I guess they haven't started using the new forms. Anyways, very interesting. I applaud. Huh? I applaud the Windows XP window frame. I do. It's a rare case for the U.S. government publicly linking Iran with ransomware. Now, they link them with other things, which is typically used by cyber criminals rather than governments. And it's a reminder that America's ransomware problem is not limited to Russia. That's right. We're not just worrying about Iran in this article. We're worrying about Russia, too, now. So you've got software that you can't stop. You've got countries that are trying to hack into you. Bad times. It's bad times. And then, of course, I had to just go do a quick search. And this morning, right, just for the sake of it, I could see the three articles that pulled up. And of course, obviously, I'm doing a search, right, for government warns of cyber. What do we pull up? We pull up the CEO of JP Morgan warning about a cyber attack, right? The JP Morgan Council. Apparently, these guys are experts, right? The White House is warning. Right, so here we go. White House warns CEOs of heightened cyber risk. Check this out. The White House is warning CEOs of the heightened cyber risk. This is amazing. These guys are just full of intelligence. Then look, Biden national security official warns of heightened risk of malicious cyber attack. Okay, so you guys, you can obviously see the picture that we've painted. Okay, it's inevitable. There's going to be a massive attack. It's going to black out random parts of communication wherever they see fit. And there's nothing we can do. But I'm sure that they're going to provide a solution. I don't know what that solution's going to be. I have no idea. Maybe some new app that tracks you. I don't see how that would help. I know that money printing is definitely going to be part of the solution. I just don't know what else. I know for sure that we print money to make things go away. So we're going to do that for sure. But I don't know what else. Nico, what else do we do besides that to make problems go away?
Look, so first of all, like, we're speculating. That's number one.
Okay. Yeah, it's all speculation.
we don't know for sure. But what I can say for a fact, and we've actually done a pretty good job at covering this the last couple months, is which is what we've been telling you guys. The internet has allowed people to communicate freely and openly express their ideas against the narrative of governments, right? You see the legacy media reporting a certain narrative, and then on Twitter you see the truth seeping in, even though they tried to censor, even though they tried to hide replies, even though they try to do these certain things. So a cyber attack, which is what Laser Hoddle was saying and what Phil is saying, is a very convenient way to essentially kind of do like a Patriot Act for the internet, right? For governments to say, look, this is what happens if, you know, people have too much freedom and we don't have more control. And they also see the China model, right? The China model is the great firewall of China, right? Chinese government has, you know, an army of censors that are deleting messages and deleting posts from their version of Twitter, which is called Weibo, right? So honestly, when you have that many articles and that many, you know, legacy reputable news sources all saying the same thing, I don't think it's too much of a stretch to say what is going on here, especially after what we've seen over the last 2 years, right? Governments, institutions that, you know, I think the public used to trust in those institutions are at an all-time low. I think we could say for a fact that governments are using the current situation to justify printing money like never before, and to justify a lot of totalitarian powers. And a lot of those totalitarian powers aren't really based on data, right? I live in Florida. Florida is one of the most open states in the U.S. And in terms of, you know, the in terms of regulations and that to try to stop what's going on in the world. And it has one of the lowest rates in the world, right? You have Sweden as well. So what is going on here, right? And again, that's just a question to ask. And how does this connect with the cyber pandemic that Phil was covering? Is why are these people talking about this so much? Like, why are they talking about this so much? Well, like, you know, you have to question yourself. So why is the White House talking about it? Why is the DHS talking about this, right? What's going on, right? A decentralized system like Bitcoin, yeah, you could take out a couple miners. In fact, China did this year. But the honey badgers didn't care. The incentives of Bitcoin made the hash rate come back in a record rate. I think none of us expected it to come back so quickly. So there's obviously a solution to this cyber attack. These cyber attacks affect centralized systems, right? The answer to this is not giving a central authority more power so that you can blame more totalitarianism. It's to implement a new system that isn't prone to those types of vulnerabilities. Anyway, that's my opinion. I'd love to get Desiree's thoughts and then Christian's.
Well, I personally love cyber attacks. I'm kidding. My husband actually works in cybersecurity, so I hear about this stuff like way more than the average person, and it's so
top
boring
secret
to me.
Information?
No, not anymore. But
when's it gonna happen, Des? The date? When's the black eye?
Oh my god! Should I make another prediction, you guys? I predict like it's going to be January 17th.
You heard it.
No, would it be before or after Chinese New Year? I guess.
I don't know. I don't know. I mean, it's all, I don't even know what to believe anymore because I see these threats.
Desiree, let me ask you something. Are Phil and I just seeing things that are not there?
No, I think we're totally fucked. Like, I think we're so totally fucked. I mean, I think like the bigger threat is actually China from like everything that I've heard. And it's like, that's where, and it's not like necessarily cyber attack. It's like theft of, you know, business secrets, theft of, you know, things that are valuable to the U.S. Like, I think that's the biggest threat to the U.S., like, from what I've observed personally. But, I mean, it's just, like, nonstop going on all the time where, you know, there's threats all the time and no one's actually combating them. Like, there's attacks all the time and people are just paying ransomware. I mean, everyone's just, like, adding it into their budgets, right? But like the government is also adding it into their budgets, which how does the government budget for something like this? And it's called printing money, right? I mean, I was a consultant and I, you know, worked on contracts for the federal government for some time. And it's like really, really scary how, you know, what the federal spending looks like. So, you know, when there's money to spend, they're going to spend it all. And so they can get bigger budgets next year. And where do the budgets come from spending from or from printing money. So, I mean, I think it's, there's a lot of things tied together. I don't know, like, if there's like, I think all of these people are way too stupid to actually know that something is coming. I think it's just, this is happening all of the time. Like, I mean, there was like, I just hear about it more often than I think most people do, where it's like, you know, I think there was like a town in Alabama that like, or a city in Alabama that was like ransomware, and like all of these places, and people are just, it's just the norm now. And so it's just inevitable that there's a really, really huge one coming up, or some type of attack coming up. And I think these people are just like covering their asses and trying to get bigger budgets, and the government's just going to keep printing money.
Yep.
But it's, I don't know.
It's okay, because Bitcoin fixes us.
Yeah, I'm okay. I'm okay. We're okay. So like, I'm not bothered by it, but you know, I feel bad for the no coiners.
Absolutely. Christian, I'm going to ask you the same question. Are we crazy tinfoil hat YouTubers?
Completely. Everything's fine. I don't know. Like, I guess, you know, I'm just a Bitcoin gaming dev guy, so I'm no authority on the geopolitics of the world.
But we're just two idiots on YouTube.
Yeah, maybe I can give, because like, you guys are all in the States, right? So it's probably like slightly different news things we see, or different environments. But I guess like my understanding is like, we're in kind of like, you know, it seems like we're in a kind of cold war with China, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, the weapons of the future are cyber attacks. So given that we're in a cold war with China, it's quite possible that one is on the way. I wonder if it's a little bit like the nuclear deterrent, like China knows that they can shut off our power, but we know that China can shut off our power, but China also knows that we could shut off their power, so we don't shut off each other's power. Maybe there's a deterrent effect would stop it happening, because that's the same with nukes. We live in a nuke world, but we haven't had a nuke because it's mutually assured destruction, right? Touch wood. So maybe that's why it won't happen, even though it's literally a button press away. Which it doesn't give you much comfort, but yeah, you know, it's scary. You know, I've just had like a kid, so I think about these things more now. You know, but that's why I'm teaching him how to hunt and you know, make fire, and we'll go camping. We'll be all right.
How to get out of the city forever?
Yeah. I am out of the city, so yeah, already. So a lot of Bitcoiners awesome. Do that, right? Don't they? They kind of want to be self-sufficient. They live on a farm and. Get the Blockstream satellite or something.
It's true, man. And, you know, put your seed in metal, you know, and bury it in a hole somewhere. You know, protect it from cyber attack.
I did that. I was on a boat and it fell out and it spotted the ocean.
You too?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
None of us should go near any water or any boats.
Every time a Bitcoiner gets on a boat, there's always an accident. I don't know what's going on. It's just gone. Poof, gone. But anyways, Phil, it's time for the Daily Meme Review. The Daily Meme Review is brought to you by Citadel 21. It's the best Bitcoin cultural zine. It's awesome stories by plebs, for plebs, awesome toxic stories, and they're scarce. There's only 1,000 copies made per volume. Anyways, get your copy of Citadel 21 today. All right, okay, 3, 2, 1. All right, everybody, the first meme for today is brought to us by Gigglesma. Might be able to play you the sound, because you guys know why, but let's check it out.
There's no sound. There's no sound. Is there sound in the video?
Oh my gosh.
Oh man, I'm just wondering like how those people actually do that. Okay. Next one brought to us by LC_Hoddle2. Memes, toxic plebs, influencers, clout chasers, and grifters. Absolutely hilarious. Moving on to the next one. It's by Leota. Good morning, Bitcoin Twitter. Brothers and sisters are natural, like shitcoiners and Bitcoiners, or bankers are Bitcoiners, or statists and Bitcoiners, or Bitcoiners and other Bitcoiners. Damn Bitcoiners, they ruined Bitcoin. You Bitcoiners sure are contentious people. You just made an enemy for life. What is going on, Phil? Okay. Next one brought to us by the legendary Greg Zag from the Meme Factory that doesn't exist. Anyways, I don't know when, but there will be problems with this.
fractionally reserve Bitcoin custodians when they realize you can't roll back the chain. I like that. That's a good meme. Okay, next one brought to us by the legendary YouTuber BTC Sessions, Shitcoiners.
He submitted this, by the way.
Bitcoiners. Oh, dude, this is great. Okay.
I saw that one today.
This is going to be the headline meme brought to us by BTC Sessions. We're going to be on his Christmas special, by the way. Definitely tune in on December 23rd, if I'm correct. But anyways, for those memes, because we have gaming devs on the show and Halo Infinite just came out, I'm going to give it Master Chief. And he's green, so it sucks. Kind of blends in. It's a little Master Chief figurine thing. I don't know. I'm a nerd like that. Anyways, Desiree, what'd you give those memes?
I gave them my glass of Panda Puffs.
Glass of Panda Puffs.
I love Panda Puffs, and I thought those were some good memes, especially the last one.
Boom. This drop mic moment. No one's ever given Panda Puffs before. Phil, could you beat that? Could you beat that score?
You know what? I'm going to go classy on this one, especially after my Alex Jones moment. We're going to go with this painting.
It's an owl?
It's an owl, yep. Colorful owl. Pretty owl.
Oh, wow. Okay.
It's awesome.
Very nice.
The painting that I got in Gloucester? I don't know. I can't pronounce anything in New England. It's Gloucester, Gloucester. I have no idea.
Christian, do you know how to pronounce that?
I don't know how... I don't know how it's spelt, but...
It doesn't matter how it's spelt. I'm in New England.
Yeah, in New England. It's a town. So we have lots of words in England. Towns or cities end in Chester. So there's like Manchester is one, or Chester is another one, or Gloucester is another one. It's yeah.
There you go.
I think that's it.
Right, Gloucester, bro.
Well, I think the meaning is Roman town. I believe it means it was like a Roman. Well, obviously in the States it wasn't. It probably was named after the original one in England. But it was if it's a town was built when the Romans occupied us or. Once it occupied us, they ruled us, but there weren't many Romans moved over. But anyway, yeah, that's probably where. Yeah.
So, Christian, what would you... Thank you for that. I didn't know that. See, the Phil, more you learn something, the more you know. So, Christian, what would you give those memes?
I will give not one, but two counterparty stickers.
Ooh.
I guess it's the Bitcoin home of memes, I guess, because that's where all the rare Pepes live.
We've never gotten powder puffs. We've never gotten those either.
Yep. These are
counterparty stickers. Kidding me?
These are phenomenal.
This is insane. These are great scores.
These are great scores. But anyways, guys, we want to know if you agree with our scores or disagree. Let us know down in the comment section. And you guys know the drill. We say things on the show that might rub shoulders with the wrong people. So definitely subscribe to us on alternative video platforms like Rumble.com and Bitcoin TV, especially Bitcoin TV. It's a Bitcoin video site, so you know they really believe in free speech. But and of course, join our Telegram group, link us some Bitcoin memes to review. It's a Bitcoin meme review, and we review memes. It's time for the Daily News. The Daily News is brought to you by CryptoCloaks.com. They make the best 3D printed Bitcoin merch, like the El Salvadorian Bitcoin grenade, really cool stuff. You can put your open dimes in there, or the 3D printed Honey Badger. You can put your cold card in there, really cool stuff. Anyways, take advantage of the link down below for 5% off CryptoCloaks.com. Buddy, we have some very special guests. This is what you guys have all been waiting for. Earn Bitcoin for playing video games. Yeah, you heard that right. I'm just as, you know, curious as you are, right? So anyways, let's check out the website a little bit more. Let's check out the games. Play games, earn Bitcoin, join in with over 250,000 other games. That's absolutely crazy. Bitcoin bubble shooter, that's really cool. Can you reach 100 miles per hour? Bounce along the blockchain. So really, really cool stuff. So Desiree, a couple questions. How does this work?
Yeah, definitely. Which also, by the way, we're still updating the website, but the Thunder Bay, the bubble shooter, actually just came out today. Oh. So if you haven't yet, everyone should go download it. It's available on both the App Store and Google Play. But basically, I mean, it's so simple. They are just really fun, addicting mobile games. And you can go to the App Store, Google Play Store, which everybody is familiar with, everybody's used. very familiar experience, and you can just download them, play, and you can stack sats. So effectively, you can just very easily onboard to Bitcoin and become a Bitcoiner. So that's like it, what you've just seen.
Let me ask you something. Because I'm looking at that, I was a bit like, okay, but how do the economics of that work?
Yeah, so right now, the way that it's set up, because obviously you can't be doing Bitcoin payments in the game itself because of the rules with the App Store and Google Play stores. So right now, the way it's set up as, the more you play, you can earn these tickets, these purple tickets that appear during the game, or, you win them as rewards. And then there is a daily raffle where you can earn sats daily with those tickets. And I mean, pretty much everybody wins. But that's how it is. We have it working out now. Obviously, it would be more ideal if we were like doing Bitcoin payments in the game. But, we want to always make sure that our games are available in the App Store and Google Play stores, because that is like the safest, most familiar place for people to go and download apps. That's really one of the biggest missions of Thunder, is bringing Bitcoin to people through mobile games. So, our chief product officer, he won his first Bitcoin playing Bitcoin Bounce, and that's how he became a Bitcoiner. He won Bitcoin, and he's like, I'm not gonna like delete this game from my phone because I have Bitcoin in here. And then he was really forced to learn how to download a wallet and cash out his Bitcoin to, any like Zebedee wallet of Satoshi, any wallet of his choosing. And and he became a Bitcoiner that way. So yeah, that's really our mission, is just making really fun, addicting mobile games that introduce people to Bitcoin and make it really, really simple to earn Bitcoin. Whereas like, you don't have to go to Coinbase and like upload a photo of your passport and like sacrifice your firstborn and those type of things. So it's very, very easy, simple onboarding process.
So what you're saying is it's KYC free?
So to play, yeah. So I mean, once you cash out, there are like, you have an account and stuff like that, but there's different types of KYC for different limits, but like to actually like earn your first Bitcoin, you don't need to like go through that whole entire KYC process. So
yeah, and it's, man, the KYC, it's just so annoying. We actually had a KYC expert on the show, and we literally went through it. He wrote this amazing paper, and he's essentially made the argument, right, that with the receipts, that KYC doesn't stop anything, right? It actually helps criminals, right? Mm-hmm. And you guys could go check out that episode. But Desiree, I have a question for you. So when I asked you like how the economics of this work, like what's in it for, who's paying this Bitcoin to who? Like who's paying the gamers Bitcoin?
Yeah, so right now, I mean, that's something really that we're excited to experiment with. But right now it's just like very traditional mobile monetization models. So through ads, which suck, and that's something that we're working through, doing surveys and tasks through offer walls, and then obviously sponsorship. So, it's working, people are in, and also in-game app purchases, which, I believe the both stores, and Chris, maybe you can correct me if I'm wrong, you can actually like purchase in-game assets outside of the app store. And so I think there's like some things you can do there with Bitcoin, but we're just operating solely on kind of like those traditional mobile gaming models, which, that's something that we're really thinking about too, is like, okay, how can we make these ads or these ways that we're monetizing like more meaningful and make them more of like a circular in-game economy. So right now it's working because those models like do make money very well, actually. So also we're not going to just throw Bitcoin into something and hope that it's better than the current model. Like if it isn't broken, why are we fixing it? So we're trying to do something that like actually is, it's a better incentive and it for people to switch to like kind of what we're working on.
Yeah, so I mean that I didn't know this was possible because I never understood the incentives, but now that you've explained it, it makes a whole lot of sense. But that Christian, you want to say something?
Yeah, I was going to say, like, so games have ads anyway, but the user gets nothing, you know, for watching them, right? You know, so what like Jack and Des do at Thunder Games, and I've also done in the past, and I'm doing now, is you just give a percentage of that ad revenue back to the player, and then it kind of makes them play more. You know, so then they kind of make more revenue. So it's kind of a win-win situation. And also, if you kind of know that your players are all kind of like people interested in earning Bitcoin, you can actually get a premium on the ads because you kind of, you can go to like, a Bitcoin company who wants Bitcoin people, right? You know, they can say, hey, you know, all our players are winning Bitcoin, you know, something like an exchange, for example, right? You know, they're winning Bitcoin, they're going to want to cash out maybe at some point. So, you get a premium. So, yeah, it's quite, you know, obviously, it's I think going forward, everybody just wants to have some sort of circular economy where people are buying and selling. But, you know, this is really cool, low-hanging fruit. You know, it's just and it's a great way to, as Des said, to onboard people because, you know, people are, you know, a bit confused or about how to get into Bitcoin, and they don't want to go to an exchange and then have to KYC themselves up to the eyeballs to get the first Bitcoin. But with Lightning Games, because the first amounts are so small, at least at Zebedee, you know, up to like a decent amount, you don't have to do any KYC. And then if you start to get like, you know, more than like $200 or, you know, a few days, then, you know, unfortunately KYC comes into it. But just to kind of orange pill people, you can just do that by tapping a screen. And yeah, it's really cool to see it.
And I think people, I mean, I hate KYC as much as the next person, but like, you know, ultimately, like most places you have to do it, especially, you know, if you're a business, there's frameworks we have to operate within. But, you know, I find that like when people,
you do your business from jail, can't you, Des?
Always. I'd be great in jail. No. but, you know, I think it's so much better to, you know, for people to have actually won the Bitcoin and having had fun winning that Bitcoin, they're going to be like much more okay with going through that KYC process because they've already earned the Bitcoin, rather than going through like KYC with Coinbase up front and then being like, oh shit, now I have to actually like give you fiat money too. And like, it feels like you're having to do so much up front. Whereas like with games, you know, like it psychologically, it feels like you're being gifted something and then you're having to do like some kind of crappy task on the other side. And so I think people are more willing to do that. At least that's what, you know, we're finding anyways.
That's awesome that the incentives are aligned, that it gives you the ability, because, you know, it's exactly what you said, right, where people are trading in time and they're getting nothing in return, and now you guys have figured out a way to essentially reward them with the best thing that you could reward them with, which is sats and Bitcoin. So let me ask you guys something. I'm assuming all of this is over Lightning.
Yes.
Yep. And sometimes over database, but definitely over Lightning. So like we have a thing at Zebedee, you know, because we have our own Lightning wallet and we also have games that use our API. So sometimes if the user is playing now a game on our platform with wallet of Satoshi, that's sent over Lightning. But if they're playing with our wallet, there's no point to send it over Lightning because it's going from our node to our node. So then we do like this new tech we call database. It's super scalable. But yeah, it's over Lightning. People get sats pretty much. Because I actually tried to do, I was doing this in 2013, 2014. I had a mobile game, pretty much what Thunder Games are doing, but it was all on chain. And I was, got a lot of hate and for filling up blocks along with Satoshi's dice. But ultimately it stopped working because then, you know, it's like it costs too much to send these microtransactions.
Yeah.
So instead of going over to some other chains that my contemporaries went over or making my own solution, I knew that Lightning was, you know, coming. And it's here and it works great.
So let me ask you something. Now that you look back, right, was that compared to where, and of course, don't name names or anything, you know, not to try to put any people on the spot, but you know, part of the show is, you know, to at least provide a counter narrative to a lot of the shitcoin channels, right? And I think that you said something really interesting, which was you decided to stick with Bitcoin and you decided not to develop with shitcoin. So where do you see your contemporaries now and compared to where you are? Or perhaps that is too much of a delicate question.
No,
you
ask no. Something else. Like, I don't have to name names, but it was funny because it's quite, what's the word? What's that German word? Like Schadenfreude, is it the word or something? But I remember that we were building on Bitcoin, and then we were also doing other stuff with like what are now called NFTs, I guess, but they were called tokens on Counterparty, which is like the protocol. So we're doing all this stuff, payments and stuff, and then it all got expensive, and everybody went over and said, hey, there's this new chain, which it's got zero fees and it's really fast, so we should just jump over on that. And I remember telling my contemporaries, like, they haven't solved anything technically. They're just basically not a popular chain. You're just kicking the can down the road. As soon as that chain gets popular, you know, you're going to have the same issue. So all those people now are moving from Ethereum to Solana now or something. So they kind of move from Bitcoin to Ethereum, and now they move from Ethereum to like EOS and to a Solana. So, yeah, it's kind of, so that's why, you know, I just, like, to be fair, I think a lot of those people, they had made companies, so they needed to kind of get their product out there. It needed to be working. So, you know, I was just an indie developer, so I could just kind of, you know, shut shop for a year or two while Lightning was ready. So, but yeah, you know, that was the main reason. I just didn't see, they think they solved, they didn't really solve anything technically to scale. And Bitcoin actually has the best chance of scaling because Bitcoin is inherently simple. It's just trying to do one thing, right? It's trying to do money. When all these chains are trying to do all sorts of things like smart contracts, and that's an order of magnitude more difficult to scale, even if it's possible. But with Bitcoin, all you've got to do is kind of, I say all you've got to do, but you've got to scale one use case, kind of sending money. So that's why we're able to make something like the Lightning Network.
That's absolutely. Like, I mean, there was like an interesting article, and, you know, I would love to hear people's opinions. We're like, I think, yeah, it was Roy from Breeze who came out, and like, you know, there's a lot of people who are like trying to build on top of Lightning, and, you know, you create these like third layers, you know, doing a lot of what you're talking about, Chris. I mean, I feel like you have like some type of weird like crystal ball where you just like see this happening down the line. I mean, you're like the OG with like Bitcoin gaming too. So, I mean, like, what do you think about that stuff being done on Bitcoin and on top of the Lightning Network?
What do you mean, like what stuff, like smart contracts or DeFi? Or
Yeah.
So I think there's two questions here. One is like a philosophical question, like does this stuff need a blockchain? I think a lot of times they just do a blockchain because it's a hype, and it what they actually want doesn't really need it. It's kind of like, what's the word? It's a Rube Goldberg machine. You ever seen those machines?
Yeah. Where,
you know, and then once they find, you know, it's just, so I think there's a lot of that. But so I had this thing on Twitter where I've been going back and forth. A lot of people seem to misunderstand Lightning. And as great as it is, people think that Lightning is like a silver bullet. And people keep saying stuff like, when Lightning NFTs, for example. But Lightning, for example, can't do NFTs just because, you know, it's a simple thing. Like, it's quite easy to explain non-technically, but I guess most people will probably understand, well, maybe not, that Lightning is all about liquidity, right? Lightning works because mm-hmm. you can send Bitcoin because it's all locked up in channels and you have liquidity. An NFT is a token of one. So you can't have liquidity. So, you know, all those kind of things, I think I think we're going to see more on stuff like trustless side chains, you know, and there's some proposals mm-hmm. like space chains or something, or once we get certain soft forks, you know, it would be possible. Yeah, so I think for a lot of that kind of smart contracty stuff, it would probably
back up. End up. You said something really interesting, and people are, what is a space chain?
Yeah, it's it could get quite technical quite quickly, but a space chain is, I guess, it's kind of a type of side chain, which side chains have been spoken about in Bitcoin for a long time.
Let me ask you a better question. What does it enable? I'll leave it at that. What yeah. does a space chain enable?
A space chain lets you do, it basically lets you have your own other blockchain, which uses Bitcoin. So it doesn't have its own altcoin, but it's kind of also the security of it is anchored to the Bitcoin main chain.
Okay.
A lot of like people, they do this, right? They'll want to have some certain feature. So you can't do it on Bitcoin. So they'll make their own chain, but then you end up with a different token. And then you also end up with, you got to like do your own mining and all this kind of stuff. So side chains for Bitcoin, they wanted to find a way, can we utilize, you know, to the current miners of Bitcoin to secure this chain? But there's certain issues for certain proposals, and you know, it gets very complicated very quickly. But I think we're slowly moving into the realm where, you know, Bitcoin is slow, but eventually I think that's probably what's going to happen. We're going to have these like side chains, and Space Chain is one proposal that would let you do this stuff. And Lightning would do other stuff. Lightning would focus, I think Lightning would focus on payments, but I think Lightning is very good for bridging between chains. I think that's why it's quite useful. So because Lightning is not specific to Bitcoin, a Lightning can work on, you know, Litecoin had Lightning before Bitcoin did, right? So it's kind of, you know, Lightning can be this thing that is almost like a, you know, super hyperspace tunnel
agnostic
between. Yeah, I suppose so.
Is that what they call that?
Well, I guess all tech is blockchain agnostic, but yeah, so yeah, but I'm a lot of people probably hear about stuff like RGB, for example. And RGB, I think they've been, you know, they keep saying Lightning and tokens and stuff, but a lot of the token stuff they're doing is not using Lightning at all. It's using kind of basically like almost like side chains and stuff. So I think, you know, Lightning is cool, but what makes it cool is that it's focused, and it's kind of, it's laser focused. So that's why I think Lightning shouldn't do all these other things like smart contracts and DeFi. It's not the right tool for the job. So we have other ones, you know, but ultimately the thing about Lightning and these things is that we can't use the Bitcoin base chain for everything, but we can do stuff off chain. And then once we have an issue, like we have to, we settle kind of on chain. So I think it's the same model that makes Lightning work will make these other things work.
Awesome. Really, really cool stuff. So I wanted to pivot to what you are working on, Christian. So let me pull up the ZBD site, right? And this is the thing that caught my eye, because this is a huge game, right? I don't play it personally, but Counter-Strike, right? Yeah. Counter-Strike Go and earn Bitcoin. So that's absolutely crazy. That is a huge multiplayer game. And so how does that work? So you could play Counter-Strike for Bitcoin?
Yep, that's it. You got it.
That's it.
Yeah, so it's,
wow.
Again,
that's awesome. That's a great answer. I don't mean that sarcastically. I mean that totally seriously.
That's the thing. Doesn't have to tell you any crap.
I know. Right? That's amazing. That's amazing. Well, it's so good.
Just to clarify that, like, lots of people think, well, like, is it like a special version of Counter-Strike, or do I have to download or install this mod and et cetera, et cetera? But you actually can just, you download Counter-Strike off Steam, and then you go to ZBD, and there's a widget you download called Infuse. And Infuse is basically a little window that pops up. So you download Counter-Strike off Steam, you log in, you play, and then we have you have this companion window, which is basically the thing that kind of adds sats to Counter-Strike. So through this window, you'll have a list of games that you can play, and you'll click on a game, and then that'll talk to your Counter-Strike game. So when you click enter game on the Infuse widget, it enters you in the game on the Counter-Strike client, and then it'll show your Bitcoin, your sats balance in the window. So you shoot somebody, you get more sats. You get shot, you get less sats. And then at the end of the game in that window, you scan a QR code and you can withdraw. So it's, it was really...
Dude, that is... You're blowing my mind right now.
It's purely laziness that we did it.
This is how you can get paid. You get paid to play video games. Not only get paid, you get paid in Bitcoin. That's freaking crazy. So, guys,
it's also so simple. Like what Chris just like said. I mean, it's so simple to do. Like I mean, it is easier to do everything he just said. Like install the Infuse thing and all of that than it is to play the actual game of CSGO. It is like so beautifully done. Like anybody could do it even if you've never like used Steam before. It's really good.
I figured that was the case when he just said you just play and you get paid. Yeah. So I figured right then and there, I was like, wow, you know, these people, like, they're the real deal. But let me ask you guys something. Okay, so what, and this is a question for both of you guys and whoever wants to answer it. Where's the future of Bitcoin, sats, and video games going?
I think it's just going to be slow. I think we're still super, super early. You know, obviously all of these games that are coming out that are just like more generally blockchain games, are really massively popular right now. I mean, look at Axie Infinity, and there's just a bajillion of them, and they're getting an insane amount of investment dollars. And you know, I don't think that's a bad thing for Bitcoin gaming. Like, hopefully we can also ride that game. But I think in terms of, like, you know, I think they're like sprinting, whereas like we're in it for the marathon, right? Like, I think, you know, those games are super fun, but those games are just like, they're just leaking value, right? Like, I don't think there's like a long-term plan for actually, like you said, like, and something that we're thinking a lot about is like really creating like game economies that make sense. And so I think in the end, like, I hope a lot of those people who are doing blockchain gaming come to like Bitcoin gaming, right? And really just like, I love what Chris said, is just like really just, you know, focusing on Bitcoin for one use case, and that being money and these value transactions. And I think like if we can fix that in gaming and make it like really empowering for players, then I think that we've solved a lot of the problem. Like, I think that's just something that is just so important to solve and to work on. And then like the fun things come, like NFTs and like in-game assets, blah, 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 like that will all come. But I think, you know, trying to solve everything all at once, like nothing gets solved at all. So yeah, I think it's just going to be slow and it will take time. And, you know, there's not that many people who are doing this right now, but, you know, especially like Zebedee has a bunch of like great developer tools for people to like add Bitcoin into their games. And so, you know, I think it's just going to take time. It's not the fun, sexy thing that like is getting all the hype on Twitter or wherever. So, you know, I think we just have to like keep our heads down and keep building. And like, I think maybe next bull run will be like our time to shine. That's kind of my prediction.
Awesome. Really good to hear that. Phil, go ahead.
I was gonna say, I have a question for both of you guys from a fellow viewer and a fellow Bitcoiner, if you don't mind, as well. Okay, so he's asking essentially, how hard would it be for any game or genre to switch an in-game economy to something that hits real world, like they did with Infuse? They replaced in-game currency, but separate from the real game. They modded it for their own servers. I wonder how hard it would be for a game to swap over fully, considering, for example, outside marketplaces where skins get sold. How does one swap all that over to a Lightning Network economy?
I suppose if the game dev, like the person, so obviously CSGO works because CSGO is not open source, but it's moddable. You can have plugins. That's why we add Bitcoin to it. But obviously, you know, we don't have complete control over everything. But if you are the game dev, so Valve makes CSGO, if they wanted to, they could just add Lightning to it, right? They would just basically send us an email.
Do you see AAA developers doing that eventually?
Yeah.
Yes and no. So, like, the larger games, like all large companies, they're all risk averse, right? So they kind of let the smaller games kind of blaze the trail. And a lot of what I see, a lot of these large studios, so we've had interest from large studios, but what they've said is like, well, secretly, we have like these secret smaller studios that we actually own, but, you know, they aren't actually associated with us. So we can like try out all these new stuff, and if it fails, it doesn't hurt our brand. So a lot of these large studios are kind of doing that at the moment. They're experimenting with their kind of smaller studios. Nobody knows. I guess it's kind of like the comedian, you know, before they do the Netflix show, they go out like secretly to like, you know, clubs and do all their bad material. So yeah, they are doing that. I personally think that at the moment, the whole gaming space is like 90%, 99%. It's like basically blockchain gaming is like NFTs, and nobody knows what an NFT means. An NFT, because like they do it on all these different chains. Like I hear an announcement. I think Melania Trump is doing NFTs now or something.
Yeah, I saw that on Twitter.
Somebody's doing it on Tezos. Somebody's doing it on Solana. Somebody's doing Ethereum. Somebody's doing it on Dapper. Like, ultimately, they're all going to do NFTs, but in, you know, the most kind of centralized way. And I think that's very different from what we're doing. Mm-hmm. But my point is that it's kind of sad, but it's kind of good because it means that Thunder Games and Zebedee are early and going to reap all the rewards. But nobody knows about the Lightning Network yet because, you know, we haven't done an ICO. We haven't pumped it. We haven't got like $1 billion just for marketing, right? So mm-hmm. we're kind of like the slow and steady, diligent worker who's like, it's not funded by crazy inflated ICOs or something, but we work slower, but everything we do is going to last and it matters. Well, I think some of these other games, they'll follow the typical like ICO cycle, right? They'll go really, really crazy and make billions of dollars, and then eventually their token dumps and then all the players leave to go on to the next one. You know, it's like they're getting these quick stimulus and effects, but I don't think they have anything sustainable. But games that utilize a value mechanism, which ultimately settles in Bitcoin, I believe it's much more sustainable. So it's like it's a marathon, not a sprint.
Awesome.
So I think I do see those games coming over. And I'll just end with, I've been at a couple of gaming conferences where we showcase the games that we do at Zebedee, and we've always been in like the blockchain gaming room, right? So we've been at tables with other people making blockchain games, and the Lightning games are the only games where people could just go up, play a game, like scan a QR code and get the sats. All the other games is like, yeah, you have to get this token, but you get it on Binance chain, but you can also get it on SushiSwap, then you have to stake it, you know. And it was so I think once they start to see the Lightning network and actually hear about it, you know, I think there's a lot of low hanging fruit of just getting Lightning Network known. But that's our job, Des and I. That's what we got to do, get the word out there.
Phil, this is so incredibly bullish.
Yeah.
Man, you guys have a very bright future in front of you. I could already see it. I think the sky is the limit. Really cool stuff. Absolutely blew my mind today. But anyways, Phil, there was an open source software release today. Why don't you tell everybody about it?
Software releases. The software releases are brought to you by CipherSafe. Check them out, ciphersafe.io. Store your seed in the Cipher wheel. It's made of steel, pet proof, tamper proof, rust proof, fill proof. Link is down below in the show notes. We've got Simple Wallet version 2.4.22 that was released. Don't forget, guys, rain or shine, Monday through Saturday, we post. And don't forget, our audio-only episodes are dropped daily. They're on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Anchor.
Awesome. Thank you, Phil. All right, guys, that was our show. Before we go, I want to give a very special shout-out to our awesome guests. Definitely go check out Desiree Dickerson. You could check out her Twitter linked down below. She's the CEO of Thunder Games. Download Thunder Bay right now. Earn some Bitcoin. You heard that right. Play video game, you earn Bitcoin. Absolutely crazy. Another special shout out to Christian Moss. You can give him a follow with the link down below. He is the CEO of ZBD.
No, I'm not. I'm a co-founder, not CEO.
I fucked up. He's the co-founder of ZBD. I should have asked first. And guys, download the plugin for CSW. Earn Bitcoin playing CS. See, yeah, that's a Counter-Strike. That's absolutely mind-blowing. I can't believe it. But anyways, guys, if you enjoyed the show, you know what to do. Smash that like button. And of course, if you want to continue hearing the catastrophic fails from shitcoiners, central bankers, all the above, and the Bitcoin news from the plebe perspective, definitely consider subscribing. And we'll see you tomorrow, guys, for a brand new episode of Simply Bitcoin.
The Bitcoin Lightning Network. Still few, but soon moon.